Welcome in. It is a Tuesday as we continue to work toward college football season, right around 50 days until we get kicked off. And to get you set for the college football season as a whole, you need to go nowhere else but BunSports.com, and especially on this program, because we will give you all the necessary information you need to know. And by the time we get to college football season, believe me, you'll be bored of us talking about the previewing the upcoming season. Today I'm joined by Robert McElroy, as usual on this program. Robert, good day. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me back. Always good to be back. I had to cut a little grass earlier, and dude, it's way too hot for that kind of thing.
No, it is. That you need to be careful doing that.
Dude, the humidity, like, it straight up will suck the moisture right out of you. And I'm kind of large, so I perspire pretty easily anyway. And so, yeah, I'm pretty glad to be done with that crap, and I can just talk some football now.
Let's do it. We're going to get to the SEC West first. I'm sure a lot of you want to know what our opinions are on that. So that's where we're going to go first. And then later on in the program, we are going to talk about the non-automatic qualifying schools of the BCS. You know who they are. They're your Boise's and Boise States and TCU's and teams like that. We're going to talk about their chances to get to New Orleans, which has the best, and should they even get a chance to play in New Orleans. A very hot-button conversation that a lot of people have opinions about. Anyway, we're going to talk about that later, but first, we're going to start in the SEC West, and it seems to be, Robert, that's where all the action has been, at least for the last couple of years, is the SEC East. Used to be the division where all the big teams were. Now, it seems like the SEC West is college football's top division.
It is. The power has definitely transitioned from the East to the West in the last handful of years. Interesting contrasting styles for the most part. Traditionally, the East, to me, was more of a finesse league when Florida and Spurrier were at their peak, and LSU under Saban was a big time running team. Of course, Auburn last year depending a lot on the run from Cam Newton. So I think the West is more of a physical type league, and it's kind of nice to see the more physical part of the league take the reins at the tougher end of the conference. I think the winner of the SEC West could very well end up in New Orleans for the national championship game. It's the toughest division of the toughest conference in the land. It's going to be fun to discuss.
Yeah, I don't think that's too far-fetched at all, what you just said about the national championship. Let's talk about a team that is perceived to be the weakest coming into the SEC West this year. A lot of people think there's a train wreck going on in Oxford, Mississippi. Will it get back on the tracks this year is the question. Ole Miss, they open up with Brigham Young. They have an interesting schedule. But can the Rebels do anything, or the Black Bears, whatever they are, can they do anything this year to right the ship, so to speak?
The Rebels, the Black Bears, whatever they are.
Yeah, I don't know. confuse me.
That was a PR. That was a goofy PR mess. That whole thing was just ridiculous. But they opened up with BYU, as you said. This team, offensively, I think they're going to be in okay shape. They have their entire offensive line, including their tight end, is returned, which is going to bode well for a pretty solid running game. And Brandon Bolden, who I think is a pretty good running back for them. SEC this year, it really is the year of the running back. There's tons of them, and you can add Brandon Bolden to the list. But their problem is going to be defensively. They don't have Jarrell Poe to clog up the middle anymore, their nose tackle for them last year. Beyond Kentrell Lockett at defensive end, it's really thin. Only five returning starters from last year's defensive unit. With the kind of offenses they're going to be faced, that defensively for Ole Miss, they could get pounded.
They really could. I think you're absolutely right. I have questions. I think Houston Nutt's a good coach. Don't get me wrong. I think he's done a good job. He did a great job at Arkansas. I think he did an underrated job at Arkansas. I mean, he had that team competitive. Year in, year out. I mean, they were winning a couple of years ago, you know, with that one loss to USC, with the exception of that, when they went to the SEC Championship, they had a really good season. So I think Houston Nutt has potential to be a good coach, but I just think the experiment in Mississippi has been disastrous so far, to say the least.
It has, and I agree with you. I think he did an underrated job at Arkansas. He did a pretty good job there. He had one of the best running backs I've seen in my lifetime, and now his name escapes me. What was that man? What was that guy's name?
McFadden, Darren McFadden.
Darren McFadden.
And Felix Jones.
That was a very, very good football team they had.
And Peyton Hillis.
And Peyton Hillis, who's making more noise in the NFL than all those guys. Houston Nutt, if you want to talk about coaching and longevity in that, I mean, Houston Nutt's done just as well as anybody. He gets no credit for that, for the longevity he's been able to maintain in the Southeastern Conference. The man has held down a job for well over a decade. But you're right, his experience at Ole Miss there has not been what he or people at Ole Miss thought it would.
Okay, Robert, well, I wrote my prediction that I don't think they're going to be able to make a bowl game. I think it's going to be a pretty disastrous year once again for them. I had to have them going 4-8 and not one win in the SEC. What do you think with their schedule? They open with Brigham Young. They have Vanderbilt on the road, Georgia at home, Alabama at home, Arkansas at home, Auburn on the road, Kentucky on the road, La Tech to finish up the year, La Tech, LSU at home before going to Starkville to finish out against the Mississippi State Bulldogs. What do you think from them this year?
The West is just too deep for them, and it's going to be pretty ugly. I agree with you. If they make a bowl, then they will have overachieved if they make a bowl. And I doubt it happens. But like I said, their defense is just it's paper thin.
Mississippi State, coming off of a good year last year and a win, well, actually a slaughter in the Gator Bowl as they demolished Michigan by about 40 points. What do you expect from the Bulldogs this year as expectations begin to climb for Dan Mullen's teams?
Well, I really like this football team. I have them finishing third in the SEC West, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely crushed Michigan in that bowl game they had last year. They're having to replace K.J. Wright and most of their linebacking core along with defensive end Pernell McPhee,
mm-hmm.
which won't be an easy task at all, but I think offensively they have the skill set to do big things.
They really do.
Now, the thing about the SEC West is you can be very good and still not quite be good enough to finish at the top of that side of the conference and get to Atlanta. But I think Vic Ballard is great. I think Chris Relf has the chance to be one of the better Mississippi State quarterbacks we've seen in the last 20 years.
I agree with that.
Mississippi State's not a big quarterback school, but Chris Relf could certainly crush that trend. I think he could have a big, big year. We saw a lot of good things from him last year.
We did. He was 129 out of 220 passing. Not anything overly impressive there, but his rushing yards was where he really made his money. And I think Mississippi State, like you said, they're not known for quarterbacks, but with Vic Ballard and Chad Bumpus, a target to throw to, and Vic Ballard in the backfield, I think Mississippi State definitely has an offensive presence that teams that they play need to be aware of.
Oh, absolutely. And Dan Mullen has quite a pedigree with quarterbacks. He was Tim Tebow's study there at Florida. So the man has a good resume when it comes to coaching up some good quarterbacks, I'd say.
Well, let's move on. Well, first of all, let's get your thoughts on Mississippi State. Here's their schedule. They open with Memphis. They travel to Auburn. They play LSU at home on a Thursday night. Third game of the year. Very interesting contest that could be. A lot of people think that they could upset LSU there on that Thursday night. Then you got Louisiana Tech at home, Georgia on the road in Athens, UAB in Birmingham. I'm not really sure who got hit on the head to make that schedule that game. South Carolina at home, off week before Kentucky on the road, Tennessee Martin and Alabama at home before finishing up with Arkansas in Little Rock and then Ole Miss at home. What do you think Mississippi State's chances are this year?
Well, last year they finished 9-4, and I think they could repeat that. I really do. I think they could repeat that or maybe do one better, finish 10-3 would be huge for that program there. So I think either they repeat 10-4 or maybe one more there and finish with a 10-win season, one of the first 10-win seasons we've seen in Starkville in a long time.
I think you're right. I think they'll get 8, 9, 10 wins myself.
Yeah.
It's just somewhere in there. Just depends on how many big games they can win. And that, like, that LSU game, swing game, Auburn game, swing game, Can they get Alabama at home and Arkansas on the road? Those are the kind of games that they're going to have to win a couple of those to get up into the double digits win category.
Yeah, certainly I agree. But definitely some big things coming out of Starkville. Dan Mullen's done such a great job there.
I agree. Really now, moving to a school you're pretty familiar with, I think, in South East Alabama, and that, of course, is the Auburn Tigers, replacing many this year. Question at quarterback as Barrett Trotter or Clint Mosley or Kyle Frazier comes in. We're not really sure who will take that position, but the bright spot is number five in the backfield, Michael Dyer, on offense. What do you expect from Auburn this year?
Well, they're in a position. I have been finishing fourth, by the way, right there in front of Ole Miss. And that's not to say that I think Auburn's going to be a terrible football team. It's like I pointed out earlier, and I'll try not to be redundant in that, but you can be good and still not be good enough in this division.
Right.
But they're poised. They're in a position to do big things because no one's expecting them to do big things. Number five there in the backfield, like you mentioned, Michael Dyer has the chance to be one of the SEC's best in a conference that's slapped full of running backs. I think Philip Lutzenkirchen there at tight end could be what DJ Williams was for Arkansas last year, that game-breaking tight end. They'll use him in a lot of different ways. Defensively, in spite of the loss of Nick Fairley, you could probably see one of the better defensive units that Gene Chizik has fielded at Auburn. That's dating back to 2004-05. I think defensively we could be very good, youthful, mind you. But Darren Bates at linebacker last year, he was hurt most of the year, so he's poised to go back to his dominating defensive ways that he had his freshman year in 2009. Nosa Igwe there at defensive end has a chance to be great. Kenneth Carter will replace Nick Fairley there at tackle. I don't think he'll be Fairley like in his dominance, but I think he's a good replacement there. Corey Lemonnier there at defensive end should be solid. El Toro Freeman is one of these people that you just got to coach the kid. Last year he's been accused of playing on instinct and reacting to the ball, which you're not supposed to do. But the kid has all the talent and tools in the world to be an all-conference outside linebacker. So defensively, I think we'll be just fine. But, of course, they have a lot to prove, and there's so much youth and inexperience.
Do you think, Robert, you alluded to this on one of the previous shows. Do you think that a lot is expected this year, or more so, of Gene Chizik's defense? Because he did come in as a defensive coach, and to this point, we haven't seen any great numbers out of his defenses. It's all been offensive play from Gus Malzahn's offense. Do you think that a lot is on his defense to really hold the ship this year?
I'd like to think so, and it's one of the reasons I think that they will be pretty good. It's the third year under both Roof's and Chizik's system they have. And, it's about time to see some consistent defense from day one to day 12, 13. Last year you saw a defense that improved game by game, but there the first four or five games, you just weren't sure sometimes. So, yeah, I'm ready to see some what this team can hang its hat on defensively. I really am.
Okay, what do you have them going this year as they open up against Utah State, Mississippi State, two home games in the road? Those are going to be early morning games, and so is their third game when they go on the road at Clemson, Florida Atlantic at home, then at South Carolina and Arkansas, two back-to-back road games before coming home to play Florida, then on the road to go again to Baton Rouge to play LSU. Ole Miss is then at home, an off week before finishing up with Georgia in Athens, Samford at home, and then Alabama at home. What do you make of this year's Auburn season? What do you think they're going to do?
Well, as far as the schedule goes, October 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, that whole October schedule is just so brutal. You have Carolina, Arkansas, Florida, LSU, and then you end the month of October with Ole Miss. Auburn needs to at least, between Carolina, Arkansas, Florida, and LSU, they need to at least split those to have a chance at a decent year this year. I think Auburn can finish 7-5, 8-4, something of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I really do. Okay, let's move now to the northwest part of the SEC, and that, of course, is the Arkansas Razorbacks. Running back Nile Davis returns this year. Greg Childs, of course, returns. And first year that quarterback Tyler Wilson will be starting, although he played last year, and a lot of people thought that he was very impressive when he did fill in for Ryan Mallett. Arkansas, what do you think?
I really like this team. I have them tying for second in the SEC West with Alabama. I have them tied for second, and if you and I were to do a list of dark horse national championship contenders, I would probably put Arkansas one or two on my list if I were to make one of those lists. I really like this football team. I mean, they have everything in place. Nile Davis is great. I think Tyler Wilson has a chance to be special. And even though it's his first year as a starter, he has three really great wide receivers to throw to, and Joe Adams, Greg Childs.
And, we forget
about
right. And Jerry is right. You forget about all those other guys because Greg Childs seems to take all the headlines.
No, you're totally right. And defensively, where that much of the criticism of Petrino's Arkansas teams is defense, this year could be different and get that could be the thing that gets them over the hump is their defense. Defensive end Jake Beckett and defensive end Tenarius Wright are both very good. That could be one of their potential strengths, and we haven't seen that very much in the past.
Well, they opened up with three games at home, Missouri State, New Mexico, and Troy. I seriously doubt any of those is going to pose a real threat to the Hogs. And then they travel to a big game in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. Then after that, you got to wonder if after that big emotional game against Alabama, if they may have a potential for a letdown against Texas A&M. Don't need to overlook the Aggies at all as they play them in Arlington, Texas. And then, of course, Auburn is always there, and they are going to be playing that one at home in Fayetteville. Off week in the middle of the year this time, and then they travel to Ole Miss and to Vanderbilt back-to-back. They should get both of those. Then back home against South Carolina, Tennessee, and Mississippi State before finishing against LSU in Baton Rouge. What do you think? You said that they finished tied for second. According to you, what do you think they get to as far as wins this year?
Well, I like to look at, when I'm looking at schedules, I like to look at the different stretches, consecutive games that I think are tough that they're going to come to. And that at Alabama, at Texas A&M, and then they get Auburn at home, that's a really tough three-game stretch. I think that's going to be a very emotional game against Alabama, one in which, though, I think they will win. I am picking Arkansas to win that game against Alabama. Texas A&M, scary. That's a scary team there in the Big 12. They could find themselves winning that conference.
Yeah.
I think they probably lose just two games this year, honestly, en route to what I do think will be a pretty special year for Arkansas. I don't know if it'll be Sugar Bowl special, but like I said, if things go right for them, and they could find themselves in Atlanta. I mean, Arkansas has a tendency to be one of those teams that come up out of nowhere. We've seen it before. We saw a lot under Houston Nutt.
Yeah, I agree, and I have them going 9-3 myself. I think, but I think you're right. They're just on that edge. If they, if everything falls for them just perfectly, they could find themselves in Atlanta with a chance to punch their ticket to the national championship game. So I agree, and I'm a big believer in Bobby Petrino's offense. I do disagree with him last year that he didn't unveil Nile Davis early enough. I think that was his biggest mistake, waiting too late to make Nile Davis a big part of that offensive attack. I don't think he'll make that mistake, though, again this year. I think Nile Davis will be a big part of the Razorbacks' offense.
Yeah, no, I do too. And with Petrino, though, and his offenses, I agree with you that he should have probably leaned on him a little earlier. But Petrino has kind of a tendency to have sort of a pass-first type offense. And if he can just lean on Nile Davis a little bit more, I think that'll bode well for them.
Okay, well, you look at LSU this year, and, of course, nobody knows what to expect at quarterback. Are they really going to try Jordan Jefferson again? Do you think that's a good move?
He had a pretty good Cotton Bowl performance, and it's going out on a limb to say that they'll win the West and win it all. I realize that, but Jordan Jefferson could get it done. We've seen him get it done, just not consistently. He's going to have to be very consistent. He's going to have to be consistent as gravity with the schedule,
yep.
opening up with Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. So I realize I'm going out on a limb in that. I just like the rest of this football team, too, other than Jordan Jefferson. I really like running back Spencer Ware. I know they lose Steven Ridley from last year, but I think Spencer Ware can pick up where he left off. You're really high on Russell Shepard. Defensively, though, they have some big holes to fill, but I think they have the talent to fill it, and Drake Nevis, Kelvin Shepard, and Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
Special teams-wise, that's even a blow. With Peterson gone, that does leave a hole not only in the defense, but also special teams. He was a really good specialist last year. But I think they have the talent and they have the goods to do it all. I really do. I'm high on LSU.
It wouldn't shock me, though, Robert, if LSU made Zach Mettenberger the starting quarterback when it's all said and done after fall camp. I know everybody says Jordan Jefferson's the man, but I think with a solid fall camp, Zach Mettenberger can take that position over.
I agree, and I'm wondering if when LSU takes the podium at SEC Media Days, if that's going to be one of the main topics of focus there.
I would think so.
I would think so, too. I imagine that's going to be one of those questions that's hurled at them continuously with Zach Mettenberger there in the reins. I mean, could he become the starter? That could be one of those little storylines to watch out for.
What do you see LSU this year as they play Oregon and Arlington, as you mentioned, very tough opening game. Northwestern State at home. Then, as we mentioned earlier, the game on September 15th with Mississippi State on that Thursday night in Starkville. West Virginia then next in Morgantown. West Virginia's not going to be great this year, but that could be a potential pitfall for LSU in Morgantown. Kentucky at home. Florida at home, Tennessee on the road in Knoxville, a game I have LSU losing. I do not believe they escape Knoxville with a win. And then Auburn at home in Baton Rouge, off week before the big game against Alabama and Tuscaloosa. Western Kentucky at home, Ole Miss away in Oxford, and then finishing up the year on that Friday, traditionally against Arkansas at home in Baton Rouge. What say you about the Tigers this year?
I think they lose either to Oregon or to West Virginia. I think one of their only losses will come out of the conference, which means I don't think they'll lose a single conference game. Of course, it is only July, so if they underachieve, you know, we'll see. But these guys can lose a game and still make it to New Orleans, their favorite little national championship destination.
Well, I agree with that, and I think they can do that for sure. I think the biggest games are Alabama, and then you look at Oregon or another team like, as I mentioned, Tennessee, who could sneak up and get them. And then finally, we come to Alabama, who is tied for second in your preview. The Crimson Tide this year have a very experienced defense returning. Offensively, though, some questions with all the losses from the team last year, including that one at quarterback. Replacing Greg McElroy will either be A.J. McCarron or Phillip Sims. What do you think? What do you expect from the Tide this year?
Well, I think defensively they're going to be tops. Courtney Upshaw impressed me a lot, especially late last year. Mark Barron, I mean, all those guys. That'll be one of the best, if not the best, most talented defensive backfield in the entire land. You mentioned the question marks offensively. It's really hard for me to pick Alabama to win the West and win the SEC and win it all
without a quarterback.
Greg McElroy is gone. When
yeah.
Mark Ingram, a team leader, is gone. When Julio Jones, an unbelievably great target, is now gone. It's just hard for me to pick them there at the top of the SEC West. However, I think they're going to be a very, very good football team and force to be reckoned with, no doubt.
Yeah, I agree. I think you make some excellent points. And the depth at running back, I think, is an issue now, talking to Alabama fans over the last week or so, because of the injury to Dee Hart and the transfers from Demetrius Goode and Corey Grant. So you got to wonder, too, if Eddie Lacy gets hurt and Trent Richardson gets hurt, if Alabama would have some issues They're at running back. The schedule this year for the Crimson Tide opens up against Kent State at home, and then they travel to State College, Pennsylvania for an interesting game against Penn State. North Texas is back at home before Arkansas in the big game there, and then traveling to Florida to play in Gainesville. Never easy in the swamp for anybody. And then Vanderbilt back at home. Ole Miss on the road in Oxford, Tennessee. Then plays Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Off week before LSU, and that game is in Tuscaloosa, before traveling to Mississippi State, and then Georgia Southern at home before finishing up in the Iron Bowl in Auburn against the Tigers. Okay, what do you see win-loss for Alabama this year?
Well, I mentioned earlier that I do think Arkansas will beat them. I'm just particularly high on Arkansas.
Sure.
And in fact, it was kind of hard for me not to put Arkansas number one in the West. So I think they lose that game. I have them tied with Arkansas at second, so I think they have the same conference record, however it turns out. So I think they lose probably two conference games, but they tie with Arkansas.
Okay, yeah, I think they lose one or two myself. If you've been reading my previews, you already know that I have them losing to Florida at Florida. I just think that game's after a very emotional Arkansas game. But I could definitely see a second loss in there somewhere. But you never know. It could always go the other way, too, and be undefeated. That's the nature of the SEC West these days. So we'll keep tabs on it. We are several weeks away from the start of college football season and 1 week away from SEC Media Days. Look forward to next week getting a lot of information from coaches and players at the Winfrey Hotel, which is not far from where we are broadcasting from right now. Okay, we want to change the subject a little bit here. Something we teased earlier and I tweeted about that we would be discussing. Non-AQ qualifiers. Which ones have the best shot and making it to New Orleans to play for a national championship? And I think the top three are Utah, TCU, and Utah is no longer a non-AQ, but TCU and Boise State. Would you disagree that those are the biggest contenders this year?
No, I don't disagree with that. It seems like with the tops of the non-AQ, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I think it's Boise State and TCU that have the better chances of making a run at the BCS. They're now in the same conference, which makes it very interesting, that being the Mountain West. TCU goes to Boise State this year, and Boise State never loses there. So it makes it really hard for me to put a lot of faith in a TCU team that lost a good bit of their offense, including Andy Dalton and most of their offensive line. The thing that TCU can hang their hat on, though, is their defense. Tank Carter last year in the Rose Bowl game against Wisconsin, I mean, he was like a little kid on a playground out there. The kid was just a stud. I was absolutely impressed with him. I'm pretty sure he won the defensive MVP. Mm. Really impressive TCU team last year. I just don't think they're Rose Bowl good,
really?
Especially with no Andy Dalton.
Okay. Well, what team from the non-AQ lot do you think makes it, or do you think any makes it to the BCS? I'm not talking about the championship game, just the overall BCS.
No, I don't think any of them make it.
Wow.
I really don't. Boise State, I mean, they ended up losing to Nevada last year. Last year was their chance to do it, and they blew it. I don't expect that team to do it again this year. I think, now, while there really isn't any really dominant team at the top this year, I mean, most people think that really dominant team coming into this year is Oklahoma. Still, to me, there's not that one just really incredible lock to me at number one. That bodes well for the Boise States of the world, even still, though. Last year was their time to do it. They didn't get it done. With Kellen Moore, though, at quarterback, I mean, anything for them is possible. That kid is really, he's a stud. But he doesn't have Austin Pettis and Titus Young to throw it to this year. How well and how quickly can their backup step up?
Now the question that involves a lot of subjectivity and has been hotly debated, if Boise State does go undefeated, or TCU, or any of those teams, do you think they should get a shot to play? Say there's a couple of one-loss teams and another undefeated team. Should they get a shot to play in the national championship game?
I think it really does depend on who goes undefeated, who has one loss, this, that, and the other. It really does depend on that. It also depends on the strength of their schedule. They're going to have to strengthen that schedule over these next few years. I think it was a good move for them to get in the Mountain West and leave the WAC behind. I thought that was a really good move for that program. Yeah, I think if the chips fall right and things just the stars align correctly, then yeah, I think I wouldn't have a problem with a Boise State getting into the national title game, but it would depend on the rest of the field. It would depend on the rest of that top five there in the BCS. Yeah. I'm sorry about how much of a roundabout answer
that
is.
No, that's fine. That's fine. No.
But, I mean, if they were undefeated and we had a bunch of ones and two losses all over the place, like we did in 2007, we had a two-loss LSU team win the national championship. I mean, we have strange scenarios that take place now and then that bode well for other teams. So I'm not going to rule the Boise's and the TCU's out completely.
I agree, and hey, listen, I concur with your opinion there too. It is all circumstantial, and you're not gonna push under any circumstances. You're not gonna put one of those teams over a one loss SEC team. It's just not gonna happen. But after the SEC's won five straight championships, can't do it.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think it's totally circumstantial there. And I mean, we could see it one of these days. I just don't know if 2011 is that year.
No. 'Cause
I think at the top there, Oklahoma looks good. LSU, Alabama, Oregon. I just don't know if they get past those guys.
I agree. Well, listen, Robert. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday as we continue to work our way toward college football season. Look forward to it. Talk again soon.
Yeah, man. It's always fun. We'll talk again next week.
This is the College Football Report. We will be back on Friday. See you then.